Well, it is great to be back, and if you haven't heard me, I'm sorry for the accent, but as far as I'm concerned, you all have the accent. And yes, I could say a lot of things, Pastor Josh, about your golf, but I'm a New Zealander and we're humble, so I'll just say, winners are grinners, baby. But we're not here to talk golf, we're here to talk about Jesus, amen, and whether it's your first time in this environment, or like me, you've grown up in church, I pray today that God's word would speak to you. It's an honor to be here. I want to take a moment to publicly honor our senior pastors here at Wave Church, Pastor Steve and Sharon Kelly, who are an incredible, incredible couple. The Kelly family are an amazing family. And I just want to remind us, I know we're thankful for them, but if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. And I personally benefit from their friendship. Our families have been friends since I was a little whippersnipper. And we have a lot of respect and honor for them personally, myself and Melissa, and our church loves them. They are actually, Pastor Steve serves a part of our oversight and is a great help and insight to us. And really, I'm thankful for the forerunners that have gone before us. And I pray that today we would capture and take hold of God's word, because we're in this great series known as Take My Yoke. Anyone been enjoying it? And I think it's a really, really timely series. Because if you've looked around the world like I've looked around the world right now, there's a whole lot of crazy going on. I don't know about you, but it doesn't take long before you click that button on your phone to open the news where the first headline is not great. It's concerning. It can be all a little bit confronting, but I love, as we're going to read again, Matthew 11, because Jesus wants to remind us, and I would say it this way, challenge us. With everything that's going on, maybe right now, personally for you, it's the toughest year you've had. Can we be reminded today of the words of Jesus, because we don't look to and we don't lean into the world around us. We look and we lean into our King, our Savior, the one who overcame and will continue to overcome. His name is Jesus. It says this, if you weren't here last week or the week before, just to recap the scripture. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And when you come to me, the result," Jesus says, "will be I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me," what? "Teach you." It's a journey. And I'm going to teach you, Jesus says, because I'm not just some authoritative figure. He says, I'm going to teach you because I'm humble, because I love you, because I want the best for you. I love this, gentle at heart. And you will, I love this, find rest, not just for your minds, not just for your physical bodies, but you'll find rest for your souls. Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden Jesus gives all of us is light." Anyone thankful for the fact that it's not too heavy and it is rather light? And this passage gives us a snapshot. The way I would put it is, it gives us a snapshot of what a presenced life with Jesus looks like. It looks like Him leading and us following. Despite what life throws at us, despite what's happening in the world around us right now, despite what might be turmoil in your household at this present time, Jesus is making the point, hey, peace can be obtained through trusting me and trusting my ways. So if you're taking notes, because we all know, if you take notes, you get to go to heaven. Write down this title. It's simply, catch your breath. Catch your breath. Father, I pray today that we would not just attend church, but here in your presence, and as we gather around your word, we wouldn't just hear another message. I wouldn't just preach another message, but your word would speak to our hearts. Speak to our lives. Lord God, I pray that we would hear your voice. I pray that you would move in a mighty way in our lives, and I pray that we would walk out different because of your goodness and grace. in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you ever met someone who can literally sleep anywhere? You know those people where, like, if there's 5 minutes spare, they're already asleep. You're like, how did that happen? I don't know if you're like that or you're more like me. I need a dark room that is quiet and I need to be horizontal. My wife, Melissa, can literally sleep anywhere. Like, I have caught her sleeping while standing, leaning on a wall. I'm like, what is going on? And she loves to remind me that she is more like Jesus than me, because clearly Jesus could sleep anywhere, even in a storm. I find it hard if there's a whole lot of noise or a whole lot of light, or I'm not literally horizontal, to go to sleep. And whether you're like my wonderful wife, where you can peacefully sleep at any moment and in any situation, or you're like me, regardless, as human beings, how many know we all need rest? You discover, and I discover, if we push it too far, it's not gonna go well. For any parent in the room, I have three children, Ruby, who's 13, Cruz, he's 8 years old, and Bella is in the middle, she's 11. And Cruz generally gets the butt end of the stick when it comes to stories, because he's the one on a journey. But I'll never forget a conversation I had with him one evening where it was way past his bedtime. He was wanting to watch sport on TV, but it was a Saturday night, and in our household, we get up early because Mum is one of the worship leaders, and so they go in with her. She leaves the house at about 5:45 a.m. And so he is having a debate. Some would call it an argument. But if you're a parent, you'll know how the conversation goes. Go to sleep. No. Son, you need to go to sleep. Why? Well, son, it helps you grow. That's cool, Dad, but I don't want to go to sleep. So you think to yourself, how can I be a little more convincing? Son, sleep helps you heal. All the bumps and all the bruises there. Still don't want to go to sleep, Dad. Okay, son, everyone needs sleep, even Dad right now. So just go to sleep. But I don't want to go to sleep. Basically, you get to a point as a parent, if you're like me, where the debate ceases to exist and the command comes out. Listen, little whippersnipper. If you don't be quiet and just lie down right now and rest, we're going to have issues. But why do I have to go to sleep? Cruz, you'll be better for it, and so will I. Just shut up and go to sleep. Whether you're a child or an adult, the truth is rest is actually, the way I put it, a part of the rhythm of our lives. If we aren't careful, we get it physically speaking, but we lose sight of it spiritually speaking. Right. Jesus is teaching and he's saying, hey, you don't have to prove anything to me. You just have to walk with me. Do what I do, and you'll see your life go from strength to strength. If we lose sight of the rhythm of rest, how many know there will be casualties? When I flew from New Zealand earlier, about 10, 12 days ago, we flew from Auckland to Honolulu. We're part of a church on the weekend there. That was an 8-hour flight. The time zone is different. So we had about 3 hours sleep on the plane. Then the next night, because of the time zone mess up, there was another 3 hours. And then that following night, we got on a plane, 9 p.m. from Honolulu, and we flew through Denver to Norfolk. So I had about another 3 hours sleep. We got here, and it was 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And so we went out for dinner, and then I was supposed to now go to sleep again. And I could not sleep. I had about another 3 hours. How many know, after 4 nights of 3 hours sleep, I'm less of a human being? The following night, my body had finally kind of caught up, and I had a great 7 hour sleep, and I woke up feeling that much better. Why? Because rest is a part of the equation. It got me thinking, though, about how there are some significant parallels Jesus is trying to make the point to us in when it comes to our life of faith. If you don't, and if I don't take hold of the yoke, the burden, we don't put it on and we don't tie ourselves to Jesus, we'll actually never find a life full of peace. In fact, I would put it this way: His peace is found in my pause. I don't know if you've noticed this, but something crazy happens every 24 hours. It actually just happened a few hours ago for every single one of us in this room. You went to bed, you slept, and you woke up and realized, like I realized, even though we were asleep, the world continued on. This is an important reality because many of us don't rest because we think it's all on us. Whereas Jesus is making the point, no, it's all on me, and then through me, you'll discover you can make a difference. Psalm 3 puts it this way: I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. Scripture shows us, this is not just a book of historical facts, it's the living word of God, but it shows us the reality of what true rest in God can look like. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? What does the Bible say? In a den of lions that hadn't been fed, Daniel slept. Daniel rested in the danger of that den. That's not just a story, like that happened. So I don't know about you, but if we open the doors and let some lions in, I think there'd be a bit of commotion going on. I certainly would be squealing. He is in a den he can't get out of. Maybe the darkness in your world right now is so great that you can't see a way out. Daniel was so close to God that he was able to put his head on a stone pillow and rest. Hannah, a great woman in the Bible, she was able to rest. She was able to sleep, if you want to put it that way, in the disappointment of not being able to fall pregnant. Maybe this is your journey right now. There's a couple here and you're longing for a family, but it hasn't happened yet. Can I encourage you? You can find rest in Jesus despite the challenge you're facing. Maybe not Daniel, maybe not Hannah. Maybe you can identify or be encouraged by a great man in the Bible known as Paul. How many know? He was put in prison, not because he deserved it. And in the disappointment and the frustration and the injustice, Paul's not fighting against flesh and blood, but he is what? Worshiping. He is praying. He is even encouraging. He's writing letters in the prison to encourage the believers. We good in here. I don't know about you, but that's not me. I'd be writing letters like, can someone get off their backside right now and come and save me? You know, like there is a different rest when you're yoked to Jesus. King David, we all love King David. He writes in Psalm 121, I look up to the mountains. Where does my strength come from? Mountains? Nope. My strength, he says, comes from God. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth and the mountains. And I love what verse 3 says. He won't let you stumble. Watch this. Your guardian God won't fall asleep not on your life. Ever had a moment where you're like, God, are you listening? God, are you sleeping? He doesn't sleep on your life. He has your life in the palm of his hands. Why could these great men and women of God rest in their chaos? Well, I think it's because they had such a trust in God's word, God's will, and God's way for their life. Or if I was to put it into a statement that you can write down today, it would be this: the level of our rest in God is determined by the level of our trust in God. You want peace? You want rest? It comes at the cost of full surrender and ultimate trust. I've learned this in my own life. Last year, I shared a bit of the journey of what my father went through. Pastor Paul, many of you would know, with a stage 4 melanoma prognosis. 3 months to live was the prognosis, 84 days. What do you do with that? You cry, you get frustrated, and then you turn to Jesus. And by God's grace, we've seen a miracle in his body, and we're now almost 5 years on. And he's still alive and kicking, praise Jesus. But how many know it's easy to clap in hindsight? Really hard to trust in the middle. The book of Genesis actually shows us that God creates all things in what? 6 days. And then every bit of work leads to rest on the seventh. And what I would say is refreshment. It's interesting because God's work, and I want us to capture this, didn't lead to chaos and disorder. Amen. His work led to him taking a breath. We strive so hard. We work to the best of our abilities to do what is right, and we end up in chaos rather than in rest. And it's interesting because the Sabbath is this reality in the Old Testament, and we see it transferred into the New Testament, and ultimately the Bible teaches us that Jesus is our rest. But it also teaches us there's a rhythm to our lives that we need to take note of. Hebrews 4 verse 8 says, this is still a live promise, and it wasn't canceled at the time of Joshua. Otherwise, God wouldn't keep renewing the appointment for today. The promise of arrival and rest is still there for God's people. God himself is at rest, and at the end of the journey, we'll surely rest with God. So let's keep at it and eventually arrive at the place of rest, not drop out through some sort of disobedience. It's the chaos in our lives that cause us to question whether God is who he says he is. It's the chaos in our lives, or the prognosis, or the disappointment, or the discouragement that somehow tells us that God's apparently not there. But God is in control. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, always. And he's right there in the middle of the chaos and the disorder. We actually have the ability, Hebrews says, to find him and be at rest. There's a Hebrew word for the word refreshed, which is called nephal, and it actually means to take breath, to catch your breath. Simply put, this Hebrew word is actually telling us, because the scripture says God was refreshed on the seventh day, that God breathed in. He took a moment to pause. After 6 days of creating, speaking, breathing out, on the seventh day, after he declared it was good, he breathed in and he was refreshed. The truth is, I've learnt, and I'd have to say it this way, at 40 years of age, I am still learning. We either rest by choice or by circumstance. Now, as I said earlier, it's no surprise to anyone here, it's no surprise to me that we all need rest, but the question I have for every one of us today is our lives, our work, our mindsets coming from Jesus or wishing to get to Jesus? There's a real difference. Let me read Matthew 11 from the Message translation, where it says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion?" Jesus says, "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn," I love this, "the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." That is good news for every single one of us. In the world we live in the craziness of our day and our age, we can actually walk with and learn from Jesus and find rest. This idea about Sabbath for you and I as a New Testament believer is about being present in His presence, in His creation, and in His, what I would say is, in tandem rhythms for our lives with Him. This word rhythm is an important word that Scripture uses. The rhythm, I want you to capture this, is the how something is patterned and is reoccurring over the what that is being put together. It's the how it happens. It's more important than just the what that's in there. For many of us, we look at our lives, we look at our challenges, we look at the world around us and we think, what the heck? We say things like, how do I make it stop? If you're like me, you can utter words like, man, I feel so overwhelmed right now. But I'd like to propose to you today, the answer is not, first and foremost, found in there being less hate in the world. The answer is not found in you having less on your plate right now, but rather, I would say it this way, the answer is found in putting our lives in order and living in rhythm with Jesus. Not trying to get to Jesus, but starting from Jesus. I thought if I could illustrate this, and I hope I don't mess up Kay's setup here on the drums. But this is the idea of what rhythm means. Now, I'm a pastor, so don't judge me too much, but if I was to say to you that your life represents this drum kit, when you started out and you were single, it was pretty straightforward. There was not much to your life. Then you got a girlfriend and it got a little complicated. Then you got married and it got even more complicated. Then the kids came along. Work, everything starts to add up and it sounds like a mess. You know what I'm saying? You started simple. Your mum fed you. You didn't have to think about work. Everything was easy, but as we grow in life, our life starts to add up to a chaos that sounds. And how many know that's annoying? This is why starting from rest in Jesus makes sense. Because it's not about having less on our plates. It's about putting the right things in the right place so that rhythm would be a part of our lives. Because Kay was drumming and it wasn't sounding like it just sounded then. It sounded complimentary, not offensive. So you got to understand that it's about putting the right things in the right place, not having less things in our lives for rhythm to take place. And our lives hopefully start to sound like this. That went better than expected. Rhythm. Rest. It's not about less, but it is about order. As Pastor Steve said a few weeks ago, it's about getting into and yoking yourself to the ways of Jesus. Because when you discover what it looks like to live a life with Jesus, your life starts to make sense. We must live our lives from His presence, not just live our lives for His presence. This will change your Sunday reality. If you live every week as a Christ follower just hoping to get to Sunday to come into His presence, I'm stoked for you. But there's more to it. If every day you just committed, the first thing you did was commit your day to the Lord. It literally looks like this for me. It might be a bit too simple being a pastor, but this is it. Jesus, I ask you, forgive me today for my sin. I can't do this without you, so I'm inviting you into my day. And then I say this simple statement, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would lead and guide me into all truth today. I can't explain it in detail, but I know the days where I forgot. They're different. Because a life as a follower of Christ is actually one where we live from His presence, not just for His presence. And God puts it in a reality where the rhythms of grace in Him put everything into perspective. This is actually the place where we discover His rest, and in turn, gives us the ability to obtain His peace. And I want you to listen to this great Psalm of David in Psalm 23. And I pray that you don't just hear this as a Psalm David wrote, but I pray that this week, and maybe in these next few moments we have together, you would activate this and this would be your Psalm. That you would be able to declare this personally over yourself, because this is the desire we all have to get to, that when we get that close to Jesus, we discover. David didn't have it all right. He certainly didn't get it all right. But he knew that in the storms and in the chaos of life, it's an opportunity to come back and be reminded Jesus is in control. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Can you say that? He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength and He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. David says, even though I'm going to walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Why? For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. And I love this, because he's reminding himself, like what we got to remind ourselves sometimes, surely, because God is God and God is good, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. If God is God, and God knows best, then every one of us, myself included, must submit to the reality that His way is better than our way.